Loyal listeners, if you would like to get the HLS podcast ad-free, as well as get some bonus content like the National Recap podcast, as well as some other random musings from myself, make sure you head over to patreon.com/ndtex. It is just $1 a month or more, if you so choose, to access all of this bonus content. And I would like to thank new patrons, Brian S. and Brent L. Thank you all so much for your support. Well, hello to another edition and much more sober edition of the HLS Picks podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me MD Tex. And as always, you can catch this podcast over on Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to come join us in Discord. That is our live chat channel at herloyalsons.com/Discord. Head on over back to twitch.tv/herloyalsons for some sweet sim action. And 9 p.m. on Thursday, Central Time. And, of course, we're at herloyalsons.com. That said, I bring in a very, very big baseball enthusiast, Mr. Eddie. How you doing, sir?
Ryan, couldn't be better. We got playoff baseball. We got NBA and hockey are back. We got college football right in the thick of it. Fuck USC week. Let's go,
son. I know. We get our chance at the... And I'm glad SC week is this week because... The slate isn't as strong as some other ones have been. We always get those weeks, so it makes me feel good that we can give our full attention and our full focus to hating those bastards from Southern California. I love it.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. It's even more beautiful when they get their asses whipped, but we will talk more about that later. To catch you up on everything, the alcohol didn't matter. We still knew what we were doing somewhat, even though we got hosed real hard.
Should have both been 9-3. Formal protests have been lodged to the proper authorities. We're still waiting to hear back.
Unbelievable losses on the Georgia and Indiana sides there. But hey, it happened. We were still, despite that, both 7-5, which means I'm still 5 games behind Eddie. We're still going strong. 55-33-2 is Eddie. I am 50-37-2. I tell you what, Eddie, the funniest thing, I finally went ahead and threw space bucks and the picks we made, with exception of Oklahoma State, because I'm like, nah, we both picked them. That means we're hosed. And lo and behold, I lost money.
It's 55-32-1, to be clear.
Oh, 55-32. I am so sorry. I had a typo. Oh, my gosh.
Otherwise, we would have different amounts of games, which would make the math a little fuzzy.
It's very true. All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that it didn't go well for you. I knew it was going to be a weird gambling week when the Thursday night football NFL game had the Philadelphia Eagles down 14, score a touchdown, and inexplicably go for two.
Yeah.
Something I have never seen in my entire fucking life.
Weirdest shit ever.
And of course, I'm on Eagles -7, and so I lose because they inexplicably go for two there. I was like, oh shit, things are about to get real weird this weekend.
I need to pull up the bad beat segment. I haven't gotten to this week because, man, SVP had a lot to choose from.
There was no bad beats this week. SVP's on vacation, even though there was a gluttony of options.
Okay, so note to self, if SVP takes vacation, might need to tap the brakes on the degenerate activity because things are going to go bonkers.
Get scared.
All right, well, we got another 12-pack to open here in this, the FUSC week. But Eddie, are you ready to go get to this?
Fuck Southern Cal. Let's go, baby.
All right, we open up with a weird one. 11 a.m. on the CBS Sports Network. Wake Forest, undefeated ACC champion potential Wake Forest opens as a 3.5-point favorite on the road against Army. Eddie, who are you picking?
You know, it's still bizarre to be talking about an undefeated Wake Forest. But in this game, you got Wake coming off a bye, and Army's coming off two losses where they have not looked very good. I don't like the hook here, but what really puts it over the top for me, Wakey Leaks! The revenge is still there. Give me Wake Forest.
All right. Yeah, I'm on Wake Forest as well. Army, they started the season a lot stronger. They looked like they were going to have another solid team. I still think they have a pretty decent team. But you hit the nail on the head the last couple of games, because it's one of those things. I keep an eye on Army for degenerate purposes outside of this podcast, so I am unfortunately all too aware of some of their missteps. But yeah, I'm with you there. I don't think Army's going to be able to handle the strange, strange powerhouse that is Wake Forest. So go ahead and give me Wake as well.
I gotta love, you know, the Army Wisco total last week was 37, and one of my buddies was like, how is it that low? And I go, dude, it's still 10 points too high. And sure enough, that under was maybe the easiest cash of the weekend.
Hey, you gotta take it. Army, really, military service / triple option unders are a good principle to have, y'all. It is a very, very solid principle. Well, we may be back on a different principle, and that's anytime Oklahoma's involved in the game, we may have points, because they actually found themselves a starting quarterback, Eddie. This line against Kansas is massive. 38.5. Total's only 66.5, which tells you who's going to be scoring all those points. This is your noon kick over on ESPN, and honestly, if we were any other time this season, I would say this line is insane. This is ridiculous. Oklahoma can't score enough points. But I tell you what, they have absolutely found something. It's really weird, Eddie, what happens when you start the correct quarterback. I feel that is a strategy we should employ.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll be having that conversation in the middle of the second quarter on Saturday. Hope not, but we might.
Well, hope not too. But yeah, now that Caleb Williams is there at quarterback, I'm all in on going back to Oklahoma being the murder machine. They got some stuff to make up for. They got off to a great start last week, even though Kirk was riding Caleb Williams just a little bit too hard there, and even throwing in some weird Heisman hype.
I don't know if he's fading a Matt Corral bet that he handed somebody out or what, but he was
it was weird.
He was really going hard.
Yeah, but anyways, I like what they're doing. Kansas is still garbage. And hey, Oklahoma's back in the habit. I'm not fearing a backdoor cover, even with OU suspect defense. A lot of points for OU. Give me the Sooners. Who you got, Eddie?
I mean, on principle, a 38.5-point spread feels like I should just go Kansas, but I'm with you. I refuse. Caleb Williams has things cooking, and we've already seen Kansas with a big line once this year. They were a 34.5-point dog to Iowa State. They lost that one by 52. I think you put it perfectly. OU's making up for lost time here. Lincoln needs points. He know he needs points. I'll give me the murder, please.
Yeah, I forgot about that Iowa State game. Yeah. Right now, OU, I think, is a little bit better than Iowa State. Ooh, that's going to be murdery. Hey, that's a team we may talk about later. Cincinnati and Navy, the number two team in the nation, Eddie. I cannot believe that is the thing I have just said, but here we are. Your noon kick, 11 a.m. in God's time zone over at ESPN2. Another Armed Forces game. Cincinnati completely disrespecting the troops by being a 27.5-point favorite after they went big at UCF. Is that enough to get you to take the large number, Eddie?
No, if anything, I think they are giving too much respect to the troops, because the troops' defense is pretty terrible this year. To Navy's credit, they've been playing better. They've covered three of the last four games, but Cincy's they're a cover machine. They haven't missed the number yet this year. It's a public-ass side. 85% of the tickets, 76% of the money, but this line has moved 4 points, so I think Vegas was just low on it, and that's what it's been. With as bad as Navy's defense can be, and with how much Cincinnati desperately needs style points, Yes, they're number two now, but we already know, you know, if Bama gets more wins, they'll pass them. If Oklahoma wins out, they could pass them. Ohio State, if they win out, they're going to pass them. Like, there is a lot of threats for Cincinnati here. This is old school BCS. We need big margins of victory. Just got to beat people. So give me the Bearcats.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I should have taken Jack's advice when he threw that exact thing out on the podcast last week. Maybe the influence of the tequila, the Casa Mexico, was a little bit too much. Like, no, they ain't covering that line. UCF's got enough of an offense. They'll do it. They did not. That was bad.
We got to kind of get credit for the Ed O getting fired, although we were all expecting it to come after a bloodbath loss, not a big win. But hey, we were still kind of right.
Yeah, and also people like, wait, what if SC goes and hires him? I'm like, I cannot believe my dumbass joke got actual legs just because college football is insane. That is a sport we love. But back to the topic at hand, yes, Navy's defense has been absolutely awful. The other thing that's been awful is their freaking offense. Like, it's just now getting a little bit better. They're actually putting points on the board. I don't mean a lot. I mean actually putting points on the board. If you go back and watch, and God help you if you do this sicko thing and actually watch some of Navy's earlier games this season, you'll wonder if they've ever run the triple option before. It just looked absolutely freaking terrible. So that's great that their offense is actually doing some things. Problem is, Cincinnati's defense still really, really good. And they've gotten back on track against defenses that are not so great. So I think this is going to be absolute murdery. This is one of the things where the troops will be so disrespected by halftime, they will be waving a little bit of a white flag there. I don't think this one will be close at all. Yep, public ass side, let's do this. Next up, a line where if you had given me this preseason, I would have put so much money on the opposite side, on the underdog.
I mean, you're refinancing your house. Oh, you're cashing out your kids' college funds. Like, you're every single penny you could get on it, you would have on it.
I would be finding lunch. I would end up in a Squid Game by the end of this shit. And what I'm talking about is Clemson and Pitt, where Pitt is the 3-point favorite at home. This is your 2:30 Central kickoff game on ESPN. And like I said, I would have put previously, preseason, oh, hell yeah. You're going to give me points to take Clemson? I ain't that afraid of the super weapon, Pitt. Well, the problem is Clemson needs to play Pitt in this one because Pitt may just have, dare I say, a Heisman contender and Kenny Pickett. What world are we living in? Now, Pitt has already blown a game earlier in the season, and that's kind of the funniest part about all this, that they could actually be a pretty big favorite right now if they didn't have that little mark against their record. But Clemson, God almighty. Anytime they win, it needs to be close. And unfortunately, Pitt has found something. They actually look good. Now, it would be classic that Pitt falls apart here, but I have zero faith in Clemson being able to pull this out whatsoever. The way Clemson actually wins slash covers this game is their defense scores. Because DJ Uiagalelei looks like crap. That offensive line looks like crap. I watched way too much of that Clemson-Syracuse game, and my mind was just boggled at how bad everything looked, because I actually had time to focus on the only game there. I didn't like what I saw. It's hilarious now in hindsight, and it couldn't be happening to a better person than Dabo, in my humble opinion. But yeah, go ahead and give me the favorite Panthers. You got Eddie.
I mean, Hughes should have won that game on Friday. The fact that Clemson escaped is mind-blowing. But Ryan, you said it best. This pick has nothing to do with this year's teams. This pick has nothing to do with how bad Clemson looks. I am not going to believe in a universe where Pittsburgh covers as a favorite when 61% of the tickets and 83% of the money are bet on them. And Kenny Pickett in his 19th year is a Heisman contender. I'm sorry. You lose that game, and you lose that game by at least 14. This is still a team that lost to Western Michigan.
Yeah, I didn't mention what the Sully was.
And I know you didn't. I'm going to go ahead and bring that up because that's not a good Western Michigan team either. I understand all the problems with Clemson. But at some point, one, some of those bastards have to have a little bit of fucking pride in their lives at some point, right? You got to sack up here. And come on, it's Pitt. This is the game you lose. You're Pitt. I'm sorry. That's just how this goes. I have to take Clemson. I hate it, but it has nothing to do with Clemson. It's just the universe must write itself here.
Yeah, yeah. Have you been watching anything around college football season? What in the world makes you think this universe wants to write itself right now?
That's a bridge too far. That's even a chaos season has a core set of fundamental rules.
Oh, man. All right. Well, next up, 2:30 p.m. on ABC. Yeah, we finally just now got into the ABC games. That's how weird this slate is. Unless you really wanted us to pick Northwestern and fucking Michigan, which pass.
Oh, what an abortion of a game that is.
Anyways, this is the Chip Kelly Bowl, y'all. Oregon and UCLA. Total here is 60.5 with UCLA as a 2-point favorite. I'm really interested to hear your opinions on this, Eddie, especially because you have very much been down on UCLA and their quarterback play. So, sir, lead it off. Who are you taking in this one?
I have been a firm doubter of UCLA this year, and my thoughts on DTR have not been kind. That being said, I'm going to take UCLA this week. Oregon is banged the hell up. They have so many dudes out on injury. And to come off of a bye week against a Cal team that is not good and look as pathetic as they did last week really shook me. Something's off at Oregon, and I don't really know what it is beyond injuries. But the other thing is somebody knows something that I don't. Tickets right now, only 36% on UCLA, 72% of the money's there. So either Phil Knight is on some like reverse money laundering here.
He's hedging happiness right now.
Yeah, or somebody way smarter than me knows more than I do. So give me the Bruins.
Yeah, damn, I thought maybe we'd differ on this one. But I really feel this is a game that it almost it's the public sucker line. You know, it's not a cartoon stink line, but this is one where a more casual fan of college football goes, really? Oregon's not favored? Oh, hell yeah, man. I'm going to go all over the underdog. But as you said it, Oregon is banged up. They've had very inconsistent results on offense for the majority of the year. Both these teams can run the football very well. But the problem is that Oregon's quarterback play has actually been a lot worse if you take a look at it, which is a little odd to say because we have pointed off very much how UCLA has had similar issues. So, and the other part is that you mentioned how much has been, you know, the tickets where they are, and the line has barely moved whatsoever. So there is still a lot of dumbass money coming in on the Oregon side right now, which I like very much. Because the line originally started either at a pick'em or a half-point favorite in this game for UCLA. So this feels like a public sucker bet right now, and I'm staying way the hell away from that and taking the other side. Next up, I told you we'd bring up Iowa State again, so let's flip over to Fox at 2:30 p.m. after the big noon kickoff. Actually, that one I think is the Michigan game or something, or maybe at Penn State.
Michigan Northwestern's the big nude.
Oh, God. Yeah, and I think Penn State's on ABC. Icky Big Ten football to start your day. But we got Big 12 action here. Our undefeated Oklahoma State will come into Ames as a 7-point underdog. Now, we talked about this on the bye week podcast. So I'm interested to see where you land on this because you mentioned, is it an 11 a.m. kickoff or is it a night kickoff at Ames? That might change your decision. Well, we got in the middle of both of them. I think that's just enough for me to go ahead and take Iowa State because, again, we mentioned that this is where Oklahoma State could get got. And I just saw Eddie piss bump on Zoom, so that's not good for me. Although maybe he jinxes this since this is nemesis. But Oklahoma State has looked good. Iowa State they haven't gotten anybody yet. And that's still a decent enough football team, although not as decent as people have expected them to be. But I'm going to go ahead and ride with the Cyclones here. There has to be a game before Bedlam that they drop, and I'm putting my chips in right here. Eddie, I saw the fist pump. I'm assuming you're not. So let me hear your logic on the Pokes.
No. I'm on Iowa State.
Okay, good.
I fist pump because I can't lose a point on this game. I and I'm not going to lie. Part of me thought about if you did go Okie State to just audible and play a little defense.
Hell no, I ain't doing it.
But the thing for me is obviously everyone got immediately done with Iowa State because of the early losses. But very quietly, they've been playing pretty good football, looking way more like the team that everyone thought they were going to be since those losses. We did talk about Okie State and whether or not this would be the game, and the fact that it's not an 11 a.m. kick does help. I'd feel a lot better if this was the 7:30 kick. But at some point, you've got to have the talent win out, and I think that Iowa State just has better players than Oklahoma State does. Obviously, Okie State pulled off a great win at Texas last week.
Should have been beat.
Yeah. No, I mean, if it were not for Texas just imploding, Okie State loses that game. And I don't think that Iowa State's going to implode in a similar fashion. I don't feel great about this one, but they seem like a better football team all around, offense and defense. So I'm going to take the Cyclones as well, and we'll just we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, that ends the first half of this little show. We got six more games coming up. The SEC comes into play, and two teams without a head coach as well, plus NDSC coming up next.
Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get a deeper insight into the Notre Dame football program from somebody that lived it as both a player as well as in the inside of the athletic department, we suggest picking up a copy of If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from Notre Dame Fighting Irish Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box by none other than Reggie Brooks himself. Reggie will dive into everything from his time playing under Lou Holtz all the way up to the experiences of watching Brian Kelly lead today's Fighting Irish. And we are happy to extend a 25% offer off the book just by going to herloyalsons.com/book. Make sure you use the code WALLSND25, that's WALLSND25, when you make your order. Again, head over to herloyalsons.com/book. Use the code WALLSND25 and enjoy a great addition to your Notre Dame football library.
All right, we are back. And as I teased, we are going to start off back-to-back with two games.
Yeah, not in the same game. That was what threw me off.
Oh, yeah, it's not in the same game. We're going
to
go back.
I spent the break trying to figure out who the hell is he talking about.
No, we're going to go back-to-back here with teams that have lost their head coaches this week. College football, bless. The first of those is LSU heading in to face Kiffikins. They're at home. Probably no dangers of golf balls being thrown at our boy here. This will be 2:30 in God's time zone on CBS. LSU, now with interim head coach Ed Ogeron, is heading into Ole Miss as a 9.5-point underdog. Eddie, you on the lane train?
I mean, the scariest thing about this is that Ed O has the interim tag again.
Right.
Somebody put up on Twitter, I can't remember exactly what the numbers were, but it was like career record for Ed O as either an actual head coach or an interim. And his actual was like 58% winning percentage, and interim was like jumps up to like 75.
It was 75, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something insane. It's like, oh shit. No, I'm on Lane. I'm on Ole Miss here. The only thing that gives me pause is the Matt Corral situation. Kiffy on Monday was like, I don't know, man, he's pretty banged up. He might not play. But even Ed Orgeron was like, yeah, that feels like Kiffin bullshit. I think that's a smokescreen. He's fine. And when you know, right now, I'd say probably your Heisman front runner, a huge game like that, and a dude who has taken licks in his time. Like, he's taken shots and never shied away from it. So unless there was something actually wrong, I think he's probably playing that game. Obviously did not expect LSU to pull together the effort that they did last week against Florida, but even watching it, that and then having the announcement come out the next day, it was very much a Custer's last stand, let's circle the wagons type deal. Because, I mean, it's a lot easier to get up for Florida for LSU than it is Ole Miss, I think. And I just, I don't know. I think that team at some point is going to tap out. I mean, hell, they lost another starting O guard today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's who's left at this point. So give me Ole Miss.
Yes, I too will take the oldest Mississippi available in this game, because you called it. It was the thing about the Ed O firing is it actually happened before Florida. So I think you're dead on, and I got that feel too, because I watched that presser of where Ed got to take questions about his own firing, which was the weirdest damn thing I've ever witnessed.
He wasn't fired. They mutually agreed to separate.
Yeah, bullshit. And that is like the day that it happened, you had all this bullshit coming out that I unloaded on Shane that he got to hear for the first time, where apparently Ed O is having, he's on one right now. And I
look, he's just looking for workout partners. It wouldn't matter that she's married and pregnant. He just wants someone to work out with. What's so wrong with that?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think, you know, the players will play for him, but I think at some point there's too much bullshit, too much distractions going on, and I think they emptied the clip against Florida, because it, like you said last week, this is a team that fucking quits, and there's not many starters left right now. So you got the big one. You were able to get some chaos. You think Lane's going to let that happen to him? Oh, hell no, man. He ain't going to let that happen to him. Not now. Not with the streak he's on. Not when he's got the golf hole, the holy sacrifice now that was thrown at him like a hand grenade. I like Lane here. And, of course, this is when the defensive back injuries really, I think, come to roost, and not having Singletary back there. Stingley. But yeah, I'm going to go on the Lane train myself as well. All right. And next up, we have the other side of the coaching firing coin. 2:30 on FS1, a game I was not planning on watching. I might actually want to get a little bit of this one here, because we got BYU, who just suffered a loss against Baylor, is a 4-point favorite on the road with a coachless, but hopefully more vaccinated coaching staff of the Wazoo Cougars. In case you missed it, Rolovich decided to make his stand. He did apply for a religious exemption to basically usurp the Washington law that all state employees must be vaccinated. That includes the head coach and any other coach of Washington State as well. He filed it, and his lawyer today said he is a devout follower of this little-known religion. You may have heard it, Eddie, called Catholicism. Who reports are telling me their leader basically has said that's a no-go. So that's going to be fun in court. You have fun. Anyways,
yeah.
This is a weird situation. Go for it.
I was just going to say, fuck Nick Rolovich and fuck his lawyer. I hope that they have frivolous lawsuit rules in the state of Washington.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And that motherfucker loses his bar card, or at least gets dinged for some fines. I just... absolute fucking horseshit.
Yeah.
I hope he goes broke trying to fight this. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Anyways, enjoy your future on Outkick the Coverage. You and Clay Travis, you know, go dance in the field or whatever amongst the emptiness of nobody watching that fucking show. Anyways, despite all that being said, I'm oddly going to take Wazoo here, because that team seems programmed in a very weird way. Despite everything that Rolo did with that team, including kicking a kid off the team based or running a kid off rather last year when he was trying to, he's suing Rolo as well, which is hilarious. Basically was trying to help, you know, do the players unite and everything. And basically, it was cited as a huge distraction. That just wasn't what the Wazoo team was about. Somehow, that the team like was banding together around him, and they were winning a couple games. They're actually in the middle of a winning streak. BYU looks like they're going in the wrong direction. This game is actually in the Palouse. This all is just equating to weird for me, especially like the quarterback is like, oh, dude, we all love Rollo. Like, everybody loved this guy, despite how much of an idiot he was being. This, weirdly enough, has a strange feel to me of a circle the wagons type game. Now, we'll see what happens when they're without a leader for the rest of the season. I think in this one, they've caught BYU at a right time. BYU's on the road, so I don't like it, but I'll take the Cougs. Who you got, Eddie?
So that was initially where my head went to. You know, you always get kind of the dead coach bounce and the team rallies together. But that's typically when it's just the head coach. And it was not just Rolovich that went down here. Four of his assistants also got fired. And so at this point, who the fuck prepped the team? You know? I mean, you're down to what? Three position coaches at this point? That's too much. In real life, this is a hard stay away for me. But I feel like that's too much chaos because I don't know how you game prep without an entire coaching staff. You know, usually you have, like you do, you know, SC, you move one guy up and everybody's still there. Orgeron, everybody's staying around. Even like the Raiders in the NFL. Gruden's out, okay, you bump up the special teams guy. You still got your DB coach, still got your OC, DC, everybody else is still there. Here, that's just too much of a loss, I think, to get it back in 1 week. So I'm going to go ahead and take BYU, even though I agree, they're not looking like they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, any other team just about, I think if they play just about any Pac-12 opponent outside of Arizona right now, I would be picking against Wazoo. But even with Arizona, I would absolutely pick them to beat Arizona. Oh, God, what a mess over there. All right, now let's go into the night games. We finally on some prime time, 6 p.m. Central on ESPN. Tennessee, at least there's no Vols fans that will be throwing a whole lot of stuff out in Tuscaloosa. They will take on a resurgent Tide who is listed as a 25.5-point favorite. Eddie, who do you got?
I think there's still too many questions at quarterback for Tennessee. And with the insane game that they had last week with a 20-minute garbage storm delay and everything else that went on, an emotional letdown feels right against an Alabama team that's still angry and still has something to prove. So I'm going to take the Tide, even though it feels like a lot of points and I'm a little worried, I'm still going to take the Tide.
It does feel too many points, but I'm right there with you. Really, the biggest thing, at least for me in this game, is that we talked about it with Cincinnati, right? That they got to keep piling the points on. Alabama, their margin for error is now none. And they want to keep that top. They're back in the top. They're in the top five again. It feels like no matter what happens, we end up getting Bama in the playoff. But this almost feels like the point in time to where the loss woke them up. It was like, okay, like the rat poison took effect, and Saban gets like, I've been telling you, now will you listen to me? And then the wagons get circled, and here we go, the murder train's back in session. So I will take the Tide in this. I have no idea where Tennessee is going to be at in this game at all. They really, really wanted to beat Lane, and seeing their own fans hurl trash at, you know, the other, their friends, or really they had students, like people they go to class with were throwing trash on the field at other people they know on cheerleading squads, band, everything. Just a fucking atrocious situation. This just has a weird feel. So I'm going to go ahead and say the Tide's going to roll in this one. Be back to their murdering ways. We got another big line here. Got a couple big lines, actually, these next two games, where the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies are going to be at home as a 21-point favorite against South Carolina. This game at 6:30 on the SEC Network. Two things for me here, Eddie. I think it's very simple. One, A&M seems to have finally figured out how an offense runs. I don't know what happened. They figured it out against Alabama, and they just steamrolled Mizzou. So, hey, great. Number two, South Carolina should have lost to Vanderbilt. Aggies cover. You're up.
Yeah, Cackalack sucks. Give me the weird ass Aggies.
Yeah, even with the huge line, I was like, well, maybe this one will be hard. I'm like, wait a second, that team lost to Vanderbilt. No, it's not hard. All right, we got two more games left. Back to the Big Ten we go. Ohio State, a 20.5-point favorite against Indiana. This is your primetime ABC game. Who do you got, Eddie?
Fucking Indiana is dead to me. They completely screwed us last week. We were on the right side against Michigan State the entire way. And they absolutely screwed us. Ohio State's playing better. They're looking real good right now. I don't think Indiana's got the horses to keep up. I really don't. Give me the Buckeyes.
You know, our Catholic schooling, Eddie, had warned us about engaging with the Penix outside of marriage.
He wasn't even in at the end.
I know. That's the funny part. Damn it. Just kill the joke. Never mind.
I'm sorry.
You killed the Penix. But yeah, if you wouldn't say Indiana was dead to you, I was going to, because I was so agitated with that game. I'm like, really, you guys are going to let fucking Michigan State win this game. I hate you so much right now. And then they couldn't even cover at the end of that. Just, God, what a disaster. I was irrationally angry about that game. And then when the Georgia one happened, I was just like, it sent me. But yeah, I'm taking Ohio State. They are as well. It's weird. Where have we heard this before? Now, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Alabama all seem like they're just humming along right now. And it's like, Jesus Christ, can we just like, we know how the story's going to end. Why do we always think it's going to end any different?
Undefeated Cincy still going to get left out in the cold somehow.
I really fear that that's going to happen. I think their saving grace is that Clemson is such dog shit right now. That may actually help them, and that Georgia could maybe potentially knock Bama down to two losses. That's like the prayer right now, because otherwise they're murder machines in the Power Five, and here we go. So yeah, give me the Buckeyes. All right, the main event of the evening. Prime time on NBC. This is a 6:30 kick in God's time zone as the awful, hated, dirty Southern Cal Trojans come into Notre Dame Stadium without a head coach themselves. So actually, there's three. I forgot they fired one too. Holy crap.
They led off this party.
Oh my God. This fucking season, man. Half of the games we picked in the second half have no head coach. Great. Yeah. All right, anyway, Notre Dame is a 7-point favorite, which went up from the 3-point favorite some books had him at earlier on Sunday. Eddie, the floor, who's picking?
It's mine. It's your ball.
Oh, it's my ball. That's right. You know, we were having a discussion of figuring out who the ball it was, and unfortunately, Brian Kelly already made that decision. It's Jack Cohn, and look, here's the thing with Cohn, and we tried to make it clear during the bye week too. He must practice incredible, and if he could just, you know, not think, I think he's going to be okay. The other thing that helps is that SC's defense is fucking garbage, like real, real bad. This might be one of the worst defenses we face until North Carolina and Navy head into town, because they're just bad. They're flat bad. They got a lot of talent on the offense, but their talent is basically one wide receiver in Drake London, which, unlike when we last played them and we had to put like three safeties up high the whole time just to make sure the whole bevy of playmakers didn't get past the Irish, and then the running game kind of made their hay, I don't think that's going to be as much of a problem. Cam Hart has been playing, for the most part, really, really well. You also got that Kyle Hamilton guy back there to help make sure that London doesn't get loose. So as long as you're not sending Kyle a crazy-ass blitzes and you let him just, you know, play center field back there, there's going to be some turnovers in this one, I really feel. Regardless if Jackson Dart comes in there or Keaton Slovis, I don't care. Somebody's turning the ball over in this one. Think somebody will take one in the house at the end of the day. And here's the other thing that gives me some hope. We have reshuffled the O-line to prioritize size once again. And I really feel like that was the ticket to begin with. Size matters, Eddie. Size matters. And I'm really glad we have both Alt and Kristofic. My boy Rocco, I don't know what happened, man. I think I jinxed him by putting him on a list. So I apologize, Rocco. It's really my fault. It's not yours. I look forward to you murdering people throughout your Notre Dame career. It's just not your time, buddy, but it's okay. Yeah, I actually like where the offensive line is right now, oddly enough. And really, that's the bye week cannot have come at a better time. Generally, I think bye weeks are overrated, but Notre Dame was getting banged up pretty heavy. Mayer's going to be back in. He's healthy. I've been worried that part of Jack Cohn's issues is that he's not fully healthy. Now he got an entire, well, he damn near got 2 weeks of entire rest since he didn't play most of the Virginia Tech game. So he should be back. The offensive line is as healthy as they're going to be for the rest of the season. Hopefully the running backs who have been banged up, Kyron Williams apparently had a concussion symptoms, was probably playing when he shouldn't have. Tyree has turf toe. There was a lot of things going on, and I bet there's even more that we do not know that was going on with people banged up. So a healthy Irish, I like it. Southern Cal's garbage. Drake London ain't going to come in here and beat us. It's going to be 40 degrees at the game. There's a great picture of a boy from Texas shitting his pants when he found out that it'll be in the 40s, which I'm like, what the hell, dude? You made us all look like wusses. 40s aren't bad.
Nah, that's cold, man. He's right. He's right. That's cold.
It ain't
low 40s is cold. It's pretty bad. There's a reason I'm back in Austin, not fucking South Bend, Indiana.
Okay, fair. All right, but anyways, I am taking the Irish, and as I mentioned before on the pod, or even on Twitter, I forget where I mentioned it now, but at the end of the day, Brian Kelly wants to win a football game. We know he will break glass in case of emergency. I don't even think the glass is there right now. I think with the bye week of prep, he has a larger package available for Buckner. I don't think he's going to be afraid to pull the trigger. I think he truly believes if Cohn has his shit together, he is the best option for this team. Disagree with him because I think this team would be a lot better with the stronger rushing attack that Buckner provides. But who knows how banged up Buckner got. You may not want to risk the freshman. He's still going to make freshman mistakes. Above anything else, Brian Kelly wants somebody that doesn't make a whole shit ton of mistakes. So, crossing my fingers, give me the Irish. Who you got, Eddie?
You made a lot of good points. I think it's very important that Michael Mayer is back because it has been very clear the last two games how much his impact has been missed. Just that safety valve is such a huge thing for whoever's in at quarterback. My stance on the quarterback situation has been made clear, but there's a reason that I'm sitting here recording a podcast and not making millions of dollars to make these decisions. So fuck me, I guess. I think you're right that the bye was perfectly timed for kind of the banged upness that Notre Dame was facing. And especially, I think it was Greg from UHND that brought it up of, like, four of the first six games were top 20 defenses in the FEI.
Yeah, crazy enough.
And our highest one remaining is like 66 or something. Like the difficulty for the offense is about to go down in a hurry.
And Pete Sampson pointed out, it's like, oh, well, they're all top 20. But if you actually remove Notre Dame, they end up being top 10 defenses, which is wild, considering how bad the Irish offense has been and how much it's frustrated us. Like, oh boy, it's going to be different the second half of the season.
That was crazy. But the most important thing, as I said like three times this year already, is who is starting at quarterback for USC. And I searched high and wide, and I've not even seen that Jackson's start is cleared to play. And so that means Clapper's slop down is starting this game, and he can fucking blow me. All they've got is Drake London, and like you said, Cam Hart's been playing a hell of a lot better, and you know Kyle's going to be shading him the entire game. And Stanford Steve, on his podcast with the Bear, made what I thought was a very interesting point of, yes, USC is also coming off a bye. You've got a whole lot of interim coaches who are not going to be employed at USC next year. What do you think they were more focused on during the bye week? Recruiting and game planning, or calling around and saying, hey, you looking for a new guy?
You up?
Which was an angle I had not considered, but I think is a very good one.
Especially with everything that happened this week, too. Like,
yeah,
somebody ringing the phone for LSU, and then, oh, Wazoo? Well, you know what? Palouse is weird. Maybe we do that.
If I can go from linebackers to DC, why not? Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of upward momentum possible. But at the end of the day, their defense is very bad. And even with as bad as our offense has been, I think a lot of that has been strength of schedule related as much as anything. You mentioned the O-line shift around. I think that's going to be a big help. Kyren has been much, much better the last couple games because we've gotten him a little bit of space so that he can actually get his feet under him and move. Because if he can do that, he is still insanely dangerous. When he's getting hit 0.004 milliseconds after the ball is handed to him, even someone as good as he is can't do anything. He's not fucking Nightcrawler. He can't literally teleport out. I'd love to give him that AKA, but he does not have that mutant gene. I'm sorry.
What was the new one you had after Virginia Tech? The Hokey Husher?
The AKA the Hokey Husher. Yes, indeed. Yes. I'm hoping we can add another one this weekend, but 7 feels about right for a spread. I'm not surprised that it jumped up the way that it did, especially with some of the injury news and obviously all the coaching shenanigans. But I like Notre Dame by 14 or 17 here. I'm feeling pretty good going into this one, which is always scary, but who knows?
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. I know Eddie has got barbs on the mind, so we will end it there. And Eddie, go ahead and sign us off and take us home.
It's real simple. Fuck Southern Cal. Go Irish. And hail Gambler.
Sometimes that's all you need. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us live Thursday, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/herlittlesons for some sim action. herlittlesons.com/discord. And of course, you can always find us at herlittlesons.com. As always, y'all, go Irish. Thugs at the Cal. Have a good one.